Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, boy. All right, 3:06-ish. Vic Monagle here with you until 5 o'clock. 2 hours down, two more to go. If you missed me, if you turned me on at 2, I was already an hour in. You got to go back. Go back into time. Check out your Odyssey app. Go back to 1 a.m. when we came on after the Yankee postgame show. We've been talking mainly about the Mets because it was a Met day yesterday. Oh, was it a Met day. But the Yankees played as well. And they stopped their little two-game losing streak and took care of business in Anaheim, made it very difficult in the end and only won 2-1 and haven't really scored runs here in Anaheim. But the story of the game, clearly, once you get past the first inning and the ridiculous rule, we'll get to it in a second, but Luis Gil is, I mean, he's the best. He's arguably the best pitcher in baseball right now. And you're watching him. As I was watching this game, what I really took from it with Luis Gil, who gives you 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, a solo home run to Ohapi. 8 innings. And that's where I start with it because we watched the beginning of this year. And what's scary about Luis Gil for me, for the rest of the league, not for the Yankees, what makes him special right now is the maturing he's done this quickly. Because if you remember earlier in the year, while still being pretty damn good, while still having the 98-mile-an-hour fastball and the good change and the stuff that has been there, early on in the year, Luis Gil struggled with getting squeezed, was on every pitch, and if an umpire called a ball, it seemed to really affect him. He struggled with that in Milwaukee in particular. He also threw a lot of pitches. He was walking guys. He has become, start by start, more comfortable, more efficient, still striking out. You know, I mean, it's not like he didn't strike anybody out in this game, but his pitch count is in the 80s in the seventh and eighth inning. I mean, he was pitch perfect. And he's pitching to contact even a little bit more, like Luis Gil. Gives you 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 9 Ks. But he keeps his pitch count down. He's attacking hitters. He's getting deeper into games. He's pitching a little bit more to contact. You don't need 9 is plenty. You don't need 14 strikeouts like he had the other day. There are days where you just have that. But for him to go through this lineup, get you through 8 innings. In the last 2 games, he's given up 1 run and 3 hits. And if I throw numbers out at you for Luis Gil, they're crazy. Right now, Luis Gil is the only pitcher in baseball, the one, who's got an ERA under 2 and averaging 10 strikeouts per 9. One. It's just him. And according to Katie Sharp, who does a great job, you can find her on Twitter, she gives a lot of these stats. Luis Gil is the first pitcher in Yankee history with 6 wins, 40 Ks, and a sub 0.75 ERA in any 6-game span. Luis Gil just gave you the greatest 6 consecutive starts any Yankee pitcher has ever given you. Think about that. Now, maybe the wins kind of flubbed that stat a little bit, where there have been other guys who've pitched as well with the same ERA and same number of Ks. But you are talking about a pitcher who is giving you the best starting pitching in a month that any pitcher in Yankee history has done. Not Ron Guidry in 78. Not, you know, any years with the chairman of the board? Not 2001 Roger Clemens. Not Gerrit Cole last year. This guy is scary good. And the Yankees have a real issue on their hands. Because now, barring some sort of slump here in the near future, he's getting stronger later in the games. He's getting deeper into the games. He is dominating lineups. He is figuring out a way to both get strikeouts and pitch to contact and keep his pitch count low. And he is just filthy. But the problem is he's coming off injury and he pitched 4 innings last year. The Yankees, right now, everything seems to be good. There's questions to answer. Dominguez just played center field for 5 innings in his rehab assignment. What to do when Dominguez is healthy and his rehab assignment comes to an end? Where do you bring him? Do you bring him to the major leagues and the Yankees? Do you put him in AAA? What do you do with Dominguez? Now they've, DJ's back. It's going to be less time for Cabrera. Do you spell him at first? There's some questions there. When Gerrit Cole comes back, who's out of the rotation? And the Yankees, the way I see it, right now, as great as everything has been, and I'm sure other problems will arise and other hurdles will need to be cleared, but right now, the biggest problem the Yankees have is figuring out a way to get Luis Gil through the season so that he is still strong and the best version of himself come playoff time. Because right now, he's as good as there is in Major League Baseball. He is appointment television. He is a young rookie who is now going to become part of the fabric of this team, a fan favorite, someone you're going to try and go out to the ballpark to go see, someone you're going to make sure you watch, whether it's at 9:30 at night or whenever it is. You're going to make sure you watch Luis Gil because he is must-watch television right now. And the biggest problem, or at least the biggest issue right now, and this is speaking to how great it's been for the New York Yankees, and we'll get to, obviously, Volpe and his 21-game hitting streak and how brilliant he's looked in the field and at the plate and everything. But right now, it's hard to find an issue with the New York Yankees. It is. They are really good. And you have to, Rizzo boots one ball and suddenly, well, Rizzo's a problem. And I'm victim of it myself. I did it last night. It doesn't make it not true, but that's one play gets booted and now suddenly we're on, well, Rizzo's a problem. Because I don't know what else to point to. But they have these questions to be answered. And the biggest one is how do they get a pitcher who threw 4 innings last year and hasn't pitched because of injury? How do they get him through a season and have him ready to go? Because I'm sorry, putting him in the bullpen come late July, August is unacceptable. That can't happen. He's a starter, and he is a playoff starter. And right now, him and Cole at the top of a rotation in a short series, I need it. You want to win the World Series? Yeah, the offense has been the problem the postseason. You need the offense to come through. You need Judge and Soto to hit, no doubt about it. But you need to pitch. And as much as starting pitching might be, as we go through these 162-game seasons and the bullpens become more prevalent and all that, the starting pitching you can get through the course of a regular season without an ace starting pitcher or without devastatingly good starting pitching. The Yankees have been able, the Yankees have it, so it's not been a problem, but you can navigate it. But come postseason time, you need those horses. And right now, Luis Gil is one. How do they get Luis Gil through a year and have him pitching like this come October? That is, without question in my mind, the biggest question mark they have and the biggest problem they have to navigate and figure out. Because I need him pitching in the postseason. That's how good he's been. That's how devastating his stuff is. And that's what's happening right now with Luis Gil. Never mind the fact that my guy, Anthony Volpe, which, by the way, I am not saying Anthony Volpe is not my guy because I'm interested in the idea of DJ LeMahieu hitting leadoff. Anthony Volpe right now is playing his ass off. 21-game hitting streak. He's in the likes of Joe DiMaggio, doing it as someone as young as he is to have a 21-game hitting streak. He comes through with the triple, turned into a little league home run to give them that extra run. And they just, right now, are hitting on all cylinders. But Luis Gil is becoming a star in this league. I just told you. He is the one pitcher in all of baseball to have an under 2 ERA. Right now it's 1.99, so it's just under that mark. But it's under 2. Under 2 ERA and 10 strikeouts per 9. He's the one in all of Major League Baseball. And it's the greatest six-game consecutive start streak in the history of the New York Yankees. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And he's maturing. He's getting better. And he's getting better at the things that that starting pitchers need to learn. They need to learn not to be affected by an umpire's bad call or a perceived bad call. They need to learn that they don't have to strike everybody out. They need to learn. They need to get deeper into these games. They need to learn to keep their pitch count down. They need to learn to pitch to contact. And, I mean, the maturation process is extremely sped up right now because it seems like night and day from the pitcher that was struggling in Milwaukee, who was getting affected by the umpire, who was walking people, who was trying to miss bats, who was, you know, nibbling around the plate. This is a version of Luis Gil who knows you can't hit him and is coming right after you. And it's not going to take him 6, 7, 8 pitches to get you out. He's coming right at you. And he has just been dominant. And it's fun to watch. And now we're not at Harvey Day yet. But, I mean, I can't wait to go see him. I can't wait to be in the ballpark for a Luis Gil start. And you got the youth movement of that, watching Volpe make great diving catches, watching Volpe, you know, kill it, leading off. And listen, of course, I know people are killing me for the take on possibility of DJ LeMahieu being leadoff hitter. If he never stops hitting, then there's nothing to talk about. If he's clearly the far superior player to DJ LeMahieu, I'm not stupid. I'm just saying if he cools off a little bit or DJ gets to be a 377, 380 on base percentage guy, I like the speed at the bottom of the lineup, 7, 8, 9, that can manufacture some runs as opposed to just being planted on first in front of Judge and Soto. But right now, I'm not touching him. Never said I would. He's been incredible. And this hitting streak continues. He gets the hits first early on in the game and, like, the first at bat have been a lot of these, the hits that continue the streak. It's been great. And then, obviously, yesterday, Boone gets thrown out for the third time this season, right after I gave you the BS of him defending, what's the umpire's name? Angel Hernandez. Defending Angel Hernandez because he's trying to get on the good side of umpires. He gets thrown out of the game for a ridiculous call. It ends up not meaning anything. The Yankees have the bases loaded in the first inning. Stanton pops it up. Infield fly rule is called right around second base. And while trying to go around the shortstop and get to first base, he makes contact with the shortstop. He trips over himself. The ball lands. Double play. It's a ridiculous call. It's a ridiculous call. They need to find a way. He's got to. If that ball is caught while the shortstop's standing on second base and he's not there, it's a double play. He's got to be allowed to try and get back to second base. And it felt like it might cost the game as the Yankees offense struggled in this game, no doubt, and couldn't figure out a way to manufacture or manifest any runs. And you thought that was going to come back to bite them. And Clay Holmes in the ninth inning makes it scary, but Clay Holmes does what he does, gets ground balls. They get out of it. They've split these first two games in Anaheim looking for another series win later tonight. But ultimately, for me, the story of that game is Luis Gil. Forget the pop-up. We could talk about it if you'd like. The call's stupid. But Luis Gil has become, you want to talk about stupid. This guy is stupid right now. He is stupid good. And it's emerging as the biggest issue the Yankees have. How do they figure out how to get him to the playoffs? Because I can't imagine it's 30 starts and never think twice about it. I can't imagine. But we'll see what they do. 319. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's take one quick call before the break. Maybe two. Matt in Long Island. What's up, Matt?
How you doing? Figure out a way. How about if you combine Nasty Nestor and Gill, make them as one pitcher, make them go 4-4, you know, sit down with them, explain the situation. You think that's at all possible?
Say that one more time. I apologize. I didn't hear you in the first part.
You can make Gill and Nasty Nestor, make them as one pitcher.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, I mean, that's been brought up. I know, I forget which writer wrote it in the Athletic, if it was Chris or if it was Cuddy.
I wasn't aware.
But yeah, no, it's been brought, and someone brought it to my attention too on the call, a call a few weeks ago. It makes sense to do something like that on some level. It saves a bullpen day. I get it. I just, for some reason, I don't know if I love it. But it's definitely an idea. I don't want to take away from either of them, because then if I need them, like, how long do I do that? How long do I shorten? Like, and where do I go? 4 innings for Nestor and then 5 for Heel? Because
yeah,
then if I'm limiting to, I don't know if limiting it to 5 innings is enough. Like, all right, so he gets 4 or 5 innings still every fifth day. That's still probably too many innings.
Then you come back to me, another spot for gold.
Yeah, I mean, and you're breaking up a little bit. I'm still not sure how they would go about it. If you could limit it to 3, but I need him stretched out. I mean, a bullpen stint for a little bit and then restretch him out is plausible, I guess, but I don't love that either. I don't know. Like, I don't know how they go about it, because I don't want to ruin him either. I want him healthy next year. I do think there is some level. Like, you can't go from 4 innings to 190. I mean, can you? 180? I mean, I don't know. But all I know is I need what I saw last night pitching in the postseason. I know it's the Angels. I know they're terrible. I know they're terrible in that building. The Angels haven't won back-to-back. The Angels are, I mean, you want to talk about weird. Like, I just had the standings. Hold on one second. Like, the Angels are obviously having a terrible season. But the Angels right now are 14 and they're 21-34, right? So they're 13 games under 500. They are 14-14 on the road. They are 7-20 in their building. How is that possible? How are you 13 games under 500 at home and even on the road? But, you know, this isn't an Angel show, just funny. And they haven't won back-to-back home games all year. And last night it came pretty damn close. Let's go to Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing? Long time no talk,
yeah,
man.
I've been away.
Yeah, I tried to change the number on me, but I found you.
That was creepy, Val. That was very creepy.
Nah, it was from that movie.
Yeah,
with that,
I know.
But I got 4
Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, there you go. The girl is when she's looking for
me. I'd find you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got four quick bullets for you on the Yankees, right? But before I get to that, if you could just spare me a second, that Mets thing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to think that the kid was kind of like I understand what you're saying with the frustration, but at the same time, you know, showing your respect to the manager. But I feel like, you know, is there a chance that there's a part of that where he's like, you know, all the things that are going on, 10, 11 games under 500, just lost 5 out of 6 at home, da-da-da-da, and we're looking to pick on a thrown glove, you know what I'm saying, into the, like, part of that is, like, maybe where he's, you know, this is where you draw the line, like,
right,
on me, that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't even want to kill it with that. To get to the 4 points real quickly with my Yankees, that thing came up early on when they first made the change, right? And we had that conversation, and I was saying to you, man, if we're lucky, Volpe makes it so that, you know, it's not a question of do I need to do something about you. I'm taking that spot, and you have to take it away from me.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful to see that going on. As far as Lewis Hill, you know, you spoke about the maturation, and I was listening to the game with the fan with Susan Waldman, and she spoke to the maturity of the kid. The most impressive thing that I got from today's game was the way he just threw off the homer, focused on what he had to do and got right back onto it and just kind of like, because especially for a young pitcher, that's a difficult thing to do. Yeah. And that is another sign of the maturity level with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with you, because they just get that second run. He goes out there and gives up the home run, and it doesn't affect him at all. It's still a tight game.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the thing with just the last two now, with the Dominguez thing, right? And I want your opinion, if you could kind of like keep this one in mind, because I'd like you to speak to it after, in addition to the next thing I'm going to get to you about. But is it a chance that Grisham is really the one that's on the hot seat? Because if it is, where the kid is developed enough where you're not so much concerned about making sure that he gets the everyday reps.
Yeah,
no. Does he become that the outfielder they were trying to make Grisham into, no, as far as to fill a spot here or there for somebody, no, else, you know? No. And then the last one.
Real quick, and then I'll
the
answer
your question. The last one I got for you is, yo, what's up with that thing with the Boone ejection, man? Usually, like, you know, his ejection sometimes, I think, but this particular time, man, and I heard something where they were saying something like this happened in a White Sox game, yeah, and it turned around, they had to come back and apologize for it. What do we do now? We just lost our manager for a day. I'm just hoping that this buys him. You know, like in the NBA, you get a bad call, and maybe the next three that are kind of like suspect, you still, yeah, get anyway.
Well, I mean,
hopefully
listen,
it buys him a little sympathy. Like, that does what he was actually trying to do to get on the good side of the umps. Maybe, yeah, they give him a little... for a week or two, maybe he gets a slot.
Well, I don't know. And he's already come out, Boone, and said that, you know, the letter of the law, the call was correct. So, I mean, the rule kind of needs a little bit of tweaking. And they did announce the White Sox game that you're talking about had a similar ending. Major League Baseball came out and said that call was incorrect. So, but, I mean, it doesn't really. And you don't lose him for a day. I mean, you know, they won the game. It's not that big a deal. He's going to get fined. The last time he got thrown out for saying absolutely nothing, Major League Baseball did not ask for a fine. They said, forget, don't worry about the fine, because he should have not been thrown out. But, yeah, I don't... What was it? What was his other point? What was his first... what was that last Yankee point before we got into the... Was it Volpe? I don't remember. I'm sorry. You go through too much stuff. You can't come on with 4 points and then like just go through them all, Val. I apologize. I can't. I want to give you an answer and then you just keep going. 327, but I'll tell you what. I'll give you what I think is an underlying. I'll try and go back and listen to your phone call and answer your question. And I also want to give you something that is clearly different between this Yankee team and even other versions of this Yankee team in the past few years that have been winning. Not just last year, but other years where they've had 2022 where they had winning record. There is something distinctly different about this team than those teams, and it's not just Juan Soto.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Metal! The Fan Metal! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Mark Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the...
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
So I've got good news. I used the Odyssey app right here on my phone, and I went back in time, as you can with the Odyssey app, rewind within 24 hours and go back and listen to all your shows. You can check out the podcast as well. I went back and I listened to Val's phone call, and I remember what he asked, and I'm going to answer his question now about Jason Dominguez, the Martian who is rehabbing with the Somerset Patriots. I would like to go see them too. Maybe I could do that before he's gone. I wanted to do it last weekend. Everyone was on the road. I'm not kidding. The Hudson Valley Renegades on the road. The Yankees on the road. The Somerset Patriots all on the road. Last weekend, I wanted to go to a minor league baseball game. Everybody's away. And I don't do this much, but Hudson Valley Renegades, Somerset Patriots, I live somewhat near you. Let's go. Get home. Figure it out. Lay down the red carpet. I'll show up. Trying to take my kids to a minor league baseball game. You know, not that the tickets aren't very reasonable, they are. And I had a great time at Hudson Valley Renegade Place. But anyway, I'm going to lose my track of thought, and I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to what Val said to answer the question if I don't shut my yapper. So he asked about Jason Dominguez and taking over the role of Grisham. And my answer to that is plain and obvious, no. Have you seen the role of Grisham? Yes, Grisham has stunk, but you know why? Because he's not playing. Now, I understand if they had Dominguez, he'd probably play more than Trent Grisham. But no, I want him playing every day. It doesn't help. The development. Do you know how old he is? He's not far along in his development, as I spit all over the microphone. He's not that far along in his development where he could just rot on the Yankee bench. No. That's another problem, is what they're going to do with Dominguez. I don't think it's as much of a problem because I know he came up last year and he was brilliant. And he had that incredible series against Houston to start and just looked phenomenal and brought a lot of juice to a dead team. I still don't know. I mean, you can't expect him to be that guy all the time. So I don't know what he'll be. And the offense has been going good. And I just don't know who I would take out of the lineup to play him on an everyday basis. I just don't know. So, I mean, he might be I hate to say this. But Jason Dominguez might be, if they continue to play this way, a 2025 Yankee. I don't think that's crazy, and it's still well within his range and time frame. And like, I definitely think you plan him to be part of the team next year without question. But right now, I don't know who you take out of this lineup, unless he can play first base, or you put him in the outfield and play someone else at first base. But I don't know who else you take out of the lineup. And that leads me to my point that I teased before the break about the difference between this team and some others. And that, my friends, is left field. Verdugo is an excellent left fielder. And even when they were winning all those games in 2022, they needed outfield help. And their left field was still the abyss of Hicks and Cabrera. And early on, you know, Joey Gallo was out in the outfield. Like, the defense Verdugo played in this game last night, whether it's the diving catch that prevents the hit, where Luis Gil might be taken out of the game if a ball lands, or if it's in the ninth inning, having that opening base hit down the third baseline and keeping that to a single, that's an enormous play. That's an enormous play to keep that leadoff guy at first base. I mean, his defense is exemplary. And he's been he hits the home run in this game. The Yankees might not have a all-star, all-world caliber left fielder, but they have a left fielder. This guy is legit. This guy has been somewhat clutch. Hits a home run in this game. He's shown some pop, moving him to the cleanup spot. Against right-handed pitchers, at least, has been a huge benefit to this team and really was at the beginning. It's also come with Judge getting hot, but started to turn around this team, but his defense in left field, he leads the league in defensive runs saved from the left field position. I mean, he moves better than you think. He gets to everything. And the two plays in this game, the dive and catch, and then the keeping that to a single in the ninth inning with a double play pitcher on the mound in Clay Holmes, it ends up not mattering. He walks the guy and then gets the double plays. But in the moment, like, that's a there's a huge difference. I mean, he ends up throwing a wild pitch and it doesn't matter. But that's a huge difference, you know, typically. In this game, it didn't. But, I mean, like, the ability to get to that ball, that's a sure double. And he holds a guy in Ringueffa who can run a little bit and keeps him to that. Like, he is an excellent defensive left fielder. And this team hasn't had it since Brett Gardner. It has been a barren wasteland out in left field playing, you know, minor league infielders out there. IKF. Oswaldo Cabrera. Bowers. Franchy Cordero. Billy McKinney. I mean, these are the guys they've been playing in left field. That trade has been an excellent move. And so is Luis Gil, by the way, trading with Minnesota for a no-name prospect. Do we want to give Cashman credit for this one? I got a tweet about this, and he's 100% right. Cashman can't find any pitching. How's the pitching going this year? How's he doing? How's Luis Gil inside the organization that traded away all of their pitching depth, right? Traded away all their pitching depth in 22 for Montas. What a terrible trade that was. Traded all the pitching prospects and all the pitching depth away. This year, traded Michael King, traded all the pitching depth away for Juan Soto. Traded pitching depth for Verdugo. Lost pitchers in the Rule 5 draft, and yet still unearths what right now is the best pitcher in all of baseball. And has one of the better bullpens with guys that we weren't very comfortable with. We're going to give Cashman any credit for what's going on right now? Any? I haven't heard from all my Cashman haters. Haven't heard from you guys in a while. You got to step your game up. Because the Cashman haters are losing right now to the Daniel Jones defenders. They still work their way out of the woodwork. Even as on a terrible season, injured year, doesn't matter. The Daniel Jones defenders are still out there. The Cashman haters, however, haven't heard from you. 888-808-1019. Please, give me a call. 888. Everyone got that? You got your pen ready? If you're in the car or something, just text it to yourself on the phone, you know, with talking, obviously, or something. Write the number down, 888-808-1019. Just want to hear from any of those Cashman haters. They'll blow it in the playoffs. I know. I already got one of those today. He's not a Cashman hater. He just hates me. And this is what cracks me up. This is what really cracks me up. I have done nothing but Mets. Like, nothing. Today was a baseball day. Yankees won a game. We're gonna turn to the Rangers here in a second and get ready for a game four. But the Mets are an absolute disaster. The Yankees won a game. Luis Gil's becoming one of the great stories in Major League Baseball. The young and exciting Anthony Volpe is really turning into the player we all hoped he would be. And I've done 2 hours and 10 minutes. On the Mets, and I did 20 minutes on the Yankees. And this is what I get from Richard Ramos. Bro, you are the worst host ever on The Fan, ever. Not even just like currently, ever. Listening to you go on and on about the Yankees is unbearable. Can't wait to see them fall on their faces at the end of the season. Would love to hear your take and spin on it then. How far WFN has fallen? Where are the quality hosts? Well, I mean, you said, like, I'm the worst, so there's got to be somewhat quality. But, like, that's... what spin is there? Is this spin that the Yankees are doing well? And am I going on and on about the Yankees? I don't think so. Just so happens that they're the best team in baseball. Right behind Philadelphia. It's not my fault. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy it. You know why? Do you know why? Because when I first got this job in July of last year, they were falling apart. And I had to come on and do the minute I took over the week of the All-Star break. They came out of the All-Star break and lost series to Colorado and Anaheim coming right out of the All-Star break in heartbreaking fashion, giving up grand slams in the ninth inning. And it was the worst season in 30 years. So while they're playing well now, while Juan Soto is a New York Yankee, while Anthony Volpe is turning into the player we all hoped he could be, and while Luis Gil is becoming the story as far as starting pitchers go in all of Major League Baseball, excuse me if I enjoy it. Because this is the problem with so many Yankee fans that I argue with. We don't enjoy it enough. All it comes down to is if they win the World Series, and we don't enjoy the maze where they don't lose. We don't enjoy having the best record in the American League. We don't enjoy watching good baseball. Because I'll tell you what, right now if I'm a Met fan, I wouldn't mind just a little bit of good baseball. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Because these seasons are long. And after the Rangers win the Stanley Cup, we're not going to have much to do but to watch some baseball. So excuse me if I enjoy myself while the Yankees are out there rolling and doing everything right. And the biggest problem is how do you get Jason Dominguez involved? And what do you do with Luis Gil? Which, by the way, I also got a tweet saying, Chris, when Cole comes back, that will take care of the Luis Gil problem. How is that exactly? Do you want to take him out of the rotation? Because I don't. So I don't know exactly how Gerrit Cole coming back helps me figure out a way to get Luis Gil to the finish line. Because I don't want to stop giving him starts. Let's get to the call. Ricky in Bergen County. What's up, Ricky?
Yeah, Chris. Listen, you're right about Cashman. You know, that only seems to happen like at the end of the year when they haven't made the playoffs or something. It's amazing how people just they just disappear when they're winning. You know,
Cashman haters disappear. They disappear. Whereas, like, my guy Cashman Blows, who hits me up on Twitter constantly, who said, I don't understand why you're so blind, McMonagle. This team is under 500 without Gerrit Cole. Under 500 without Gerrit Cole. That's what I was told. He never calls, but I'd like to hear from him. Or all the other Yankee fans that say I'm just a pie-in-the-sky optimist because I thought this team would be any different after they lost a couple of games after a hot start of the season when they cooled off for, you know, the four or five games where they cooled off. And everybody said, yes, they got shut out five times in 20-game span or something. And it was like, you see, this offense, it's exactly the same thing. Why can't you see it, Fatso? And I'm like, I don't, because I think with Juan Soto, they're different. And we'll see. And now, look at them. And look at Aaron Judge. I don't hear from many of them today. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Man. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. You know, the last comment, you know, as far as, you know, they're not happy unless they win the World Series. I mean, how can you blame a lot of them, though? I mean, that was the focal point of, you know, George Steinbrenner.
I understand that.
All he said. So, I mean, so when you get a lot of these fans calling up, you know, in front of, you know, my age or a little older, you know, when they say, oh, George would be, you know, turning over in his grave, I mean, they're going off based on the comments that he made. So the fact that a lot of them still go by that, I'm not surprised.
There's a difference between not being satisfied with a year and then not enjoying the ride, because my mother told me life's a journey. So who should I listen to, George Steinbrenner or my mother? Because I understand your point. I understand, Eric, I do, and thank you for the call. My point is we can enjoy it while it's going on and then still be disappointed at the end. No one's saying I'm not saying at the end of the year after losing to the Astros for the umpteenth time to go, well, you know what? They gave me a great May. Not what I'm saying. I get it. Not good enough. But while we're in May, we don't have to hate on it and go, I don't care. Wake me up in October. That's the part I hate. In October, no one's going to expect you to hearken back to May and June and go, what a great time. I get that. But while we're going through it, There's no need, and this isn't all Yankee fan. A lot of Yankee fans do enjoy going through it. We're having a great time. But there are the certain Yankee fans who can't get past the idea they haven't won since 2009. And that even while we're going through it, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Don't tell me about what's happening in May and June. It doesn't matter. It's nice, sure. I feel better about it than if they were losing. But ultimately, if they don't win the World Series, what does any of it mean? And that's what I like. Well, then why be a fan if you can't enjoy it while it's happening? That's all. But yeah, at the end, if they lose in the ALCS or worse than that, no doubt, I'll be disappointed. I'm not going to tell you, well, it doesn't matter. Look how great May was. But while I'm in May, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. And again, the Steinbrenner stuff, I've made two challenges here in the last 10 minutes or so. Challenge one, anti-Cashman people, where are you? Give me a call. Phone lines are open. And then the second challenge is for those of you who give me the George Steinbrenner crap, and those of you who thought, well, George would be rolling over his grave and this wouldn't happen if George were here. And George, I challenge you to go to Peacock. And if you don't have Peacock, just, you know, do the week free trial and then cancel after it. All right? Because I'm not going to ask you to spend any money. That's your business. But go to Peacock and watch the documentary on the 90 Yankees, the 1990 Yankees. It's about the 90 team, how it was constructed, how it was put together, how the season went, and then a little bit, mostly about that, and then maybe the last 20 minutes or so are kind of really sped through how it led to the dynasty team of the early and mid-90s. Go watch that and watch the entire Yankee Stadium filled with Yankee fans just go absolutely wild and applaud the idea that George Steinbrenner is being banished from the team. Go watch the fans' reaction to George Steinbrenner being banished from the team. Because if you were around back then, you were elated that George Steinbrenner was gone. He was an overbearing owner who was forcing them to sign high-priced, old, veteran free agents that were dragging the team to the bottom. He wouldn't pay Donnie Baseball, but was willing to pay everybody else, and then obviously was accused of hiring a gambler to dig up dirt on his star player, Dave Winfield. And because of that, he was banished from baseball. And while he was banished, Gene Stick Michael was able to build the team that led to the 90s dynasty. And the greatest line that made me feel warm all over as I'm watching the documentary, and I believe, I didn't double check, it sounds like Bill Madden is the narrator of the documentary. It sounds like him. I'm not positive it's him. It sounds like him. But the words are uttered, and it's in the documentary where it says, something. I'm paraphrasing, but pretty much, the overbearing nature of George Steinbrenner had to go. So the analytics of Gene Stick Michael could take over and bring the Yankees back to prominence. George Steinbrenner had to go, and the analytics had to save them. I got to tell you, I've heard many great things in my life. My wife saying I do. The first cry of both my young sons being born. The first time they said, Daddy. That moment at 5 a.m. when McDonald's breakfast opens up. There's many things that I remember that made me feel great when I heard them. None more than the overbearing nature of George Steinbrenner had to go. So the analytics of Gene Stick Michael could bring the Yankees back to prominence. Hoo-wee! That made me feel good all over. So just remember, and this isn't to kill George Steinbrenner because he's a world-class owner, belongs in the Hall of Fame. Love George. But before you call me and before you get all high and mighty about this is ridiculous and if George were here, this wouldn't happen and this and that, remember what did happen when George was here. He threw bad money after bad money, got so mad that Dave Winfield had money put into a contract that he was kind of unaware of that it caused them to hate the man forever. They constantly had new managerial staff and this and that, and the team absolutely bottomed out spending all the money they spent and bringing all the free agents they brought in. And what changed it all? Analytics. Just remind yourself that before you pick up the phone to call me. Please go check out the documentary. It's rather good. They kind of breeze through the second half of it where they get to the dynasty and all that. It's kind of a very, it's almost like they didn't even really do it. They just give you little tidbits of it as you get through. But that line was said. And it made me happy.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.